love some of the conversations I have with my daughter sometimes at this stage. It reminds me of my camp counselor days at Florida Southern College when I used to have a summer job working for the city, and I would be a camp counselor. And it was a group of three little girls that were my best friends during the summer. The best example I can give you is 500 Days of Summer, when the guy, the character, and he's talking to his sister, and she's like a little sister, but she's just dropping knowledge left and right. That's how these girls were in my life at that time. These little girls will get on the bus, and 1 year I was really heartbroken and bummed out from my first love dumping me, and they were just talking some real knowledge. And so I feel now, as the circle of life has come around, I'm having that kind of connection with my daughter. She's still a mommy's girl, but she, like, we're able to have a little deeper conversations about things and be able to and feel that she can process it. So when she saw my episodes here with my mom, she saw just the things that I've been going through with her, or what I went through with her, and I was having conversations with her, and I'll go into the reasons why I'm so numb about it and really turning my back as much as I can, as sad as that sounds. But I was telling her, you know, exactly what, a little bit of what was going on. Not exactly, but she goes, "You know, Dad, I think you care for your mom, but you don't love her." And I go, "That's probably the most accurate statement about my whole journey with my mom. I care for her, but I don't love her." And it's a travesty for any child to say that about their parent. I don't want to say it. But more importantly, it's not that I'm being angry about it. It's that I don't feel it. Because that's the way she raised us. With no love, with no nurturing, with no kind of connection. No matter my efforts. So there's just too many episodes, too many times, where I was asking for love and attention. And I was affection and nurturing. And mom was steadfast against it. And I remember one time, her mother called her out on it and said, "You need to show those kids love. Like, you're so cold." And I know that's, unfortunately, when you're around somebody like that, like your mother, that birthed you and brought you into this world, and now you're exuding similar things, not to that extreme, of course, because I'm aware and knowing the root cause of a lot of my unemotional ways at times, or my ability to disconnect, because that's the feeling I got from her all the time. And in this chapter, probably one of the last ones that are going to be written about that connection, is knowing that there's a history there about always the cycle that I was explaining to somebody. It was, and I've said it already, because I've been talking a lot about this episode, simply because I don't like draining people with it. People are not able to comprehend that dynamic. People are not able to, because they don't have that. Like, it's such an anomaly to talk in this way about somebody as close as your mother's supposed to be, right? But I'm one of the few cases where that's not part of the norm in my life, and it never has been, and it never will be. And it's a dynamic of emotional neglect, lack of love, lack of support. And the way I look at it, that connection is like, she did the bare minimum. Yeah, I lived with her. Yeah, she fed me. That was it. Yeah, she bought me stuff from time to time. But as I got older and I was able to work, those things that she was responsible for me were quickly eradicated. She never did my schoolwork. She never helped me with schoolwork. She never took me anywhere as far as like going to take me to school or first day of college or nothing like that. She never came to my games in basketball. She never said, "I love you." She never said thank you. Know, now she says thank you because I quickly adjust her when she gets here. But she was never appreciative of the things that I would do for her. And it's just so many to list. Could you imagine? I live with her ever since I was born, and I've dealt with that even through this day. So that's 45 years, give or take, that I've been around that type of energy that I just described. So, you know, I noticed that one of the things my mom has done in the past is that she, when she knows she fucks up, she doesn't call me for a while. And this is starting to happen because just recently, I created a whole process for her to go through to get into a better state, meaning she's not able to walk. So I scheduled for all these government people to talk to her. We're the doctor, a social worker, and then this local program, this regional that helps senior citizens. Like, we have three people that we're going to start talking to about these things and about her getting some sort of assistance and looking into whatever things are available for her. And as I dropped her off back home, she wrote all these notes down. She wrote everything that needed to be done. And the first appointment was just recently. And the office calls me and says, "Hey, your mom has a 2 o'clock appointment. She's not here." And I said, "Oh, really? Well, that's interesting, because the Uber service told me that they were coming to pick her up." And it said, "No, they didn't pick her up." Now, I don't think she called to cancel the appointment, but her efforts to getting there were not what needed to be, right? Because at the end, knowing her, she would have called me and be like, "Hey, the ride is not here. What am I going to do?" Because she knows she needs to get there to talk to the social worker so that they can go through their options of what is available for her. But she didn't call me. And not only that, but she didn't go to the appointment. So the social worker starts to ask me questions, and I go into my spiel on what this recent episode with her was like, not being able to move, and me recognizing that she needs more assistance. I'm not able to do it, unfortunately, especially to that level. I'm not able to assist her, unfortunately. And this is a situation for assisting living. So she needs to be in a full-time nursing home where someone is taking care of her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No doubt about it at this stage. And I think her condition deteriorated very quickly, because I think, again, of the dynamic of her and her brother. But she stops calling me. She hasn't called me. My mom stopped calling me altogether. And in my opinion, it has a lot to do with her tendencies of when she is wanting to push away from the things I do. And the last time this happened was when, many years ago, when I was starting to live in Fort Myers, and her grandmother had passed away, meaning her mother passed away, my grandmother. And my grandmother used to live with her brother, my uncle. He's schizophrenic, legally. And that transition went from him living with my grandmother to now living with his sister, my mother. And during that journey of my uncle living with my grandmother, he had a lot of episodes. Like, my dad nicknames me, like, he says I came from that side of the family because of the temper tantrums that my uncle had. And the way he treated my grandmother was very abusive, verbally, physically. And that was something that my grandmother tolerated for a long time. And so, again, when transitioning over now from living with his mother, now living with his sister, he was having those episodes as well. And my mom, guess who she's calling? Me. She's calling me, and I live in Fort Myers. She lives in Lakeland. And she's like, "Hey, this guy's having episodes." And you hear him in the background yelling and all these different things. And I talk to him calmly. I'm like, "Hey, what's going on? You know, how can I help you with this?" Right? And that would happen every month. By the third month, I decided to go ahead and say, "Okay, buddy, what's the deal? Like, what's the big deal here? What can we do to remedy whatever it is that you're going through. And he goes, man, I got to leave here. I got to go to Puerto Rico. I got to go back, see these people. I have to leave here. This is not my place. I said, enough. You don't have to say anything else. Bought him a one-way ticket. Went ahead and picked him up from here. It's a three-hour drive. And then dropped him off in the airport, which is another drive. Another hour, I would say. Dropped him off. Have a nice day. Problem solved. Then, 2 weeks later, I'm being told that, I don't know where I heard it from, I can't recall, but eventually my uncle ended up coming back and living with her. And they were going through that. But it was a moment in time where my mom didn't call me back. She didn't want to message me because she knew that what she was doing went against what I did to try to help her. And I was telling that to this counselor, not to that story in particular, but I was trying to help her understand because the counselor was initially like, you need to do this. You need to go take care of her. I'm like, I'm not going to take care of her. No. You know, this is something I forewarned her about many years ago. And I explained to her the situation. And I mean, she got tired of it. She goes, okay, enough. You know, like basically the whole, you could tell she wasn't understanding and she wasn't going to take much more of me griping about that dynamic. And I was like, I get it because it can't be understood. It's a weird one. No one can understand a dynamic of a parent that not only isn't loving or nurturing or caring to the love like a mother and child dynamic, but then goes against every and any advice that I give or any help that I give because whatever she feels needs to be done, it's like her ego. She has an ultimate ego that she always has to be right. And I think that's just something in my family that there's kind of a little bit of a disease of a hierarchy, a patriarchy, whatever you want to call it, matriarchy. Like, for example, my mom feels that no matter what, I am going to do what she says. My sister feels because she's older that she could tell me how to be and I have to follow along without any questions. My dad is the same way. You see what? And so the one thing there's just a lack of respect for all of us being adults. There isn't. No matter what is being said, no matter what narrative, the way they speak when I'm in the engagement with them, and they don't even know it. Their mannerisms, the way they are, the way they say things, how they say things, it's a very kind of like an order, like a military ranking. And the expectation is for me not to say anything and just do. Not complain about it, not question it, and not hold people accountable. And that's what I was telling the therapist in that story, is that I'm not going to go any further with this because sometimes people that are working counterintuitively to getting you in a better place, you're working against that. And I was telling her, I was like, imagine you trying to be a janitor, cleaning floors, and your boss comes in right after you're mopping, decides to spill more syrup. So just goes right behind you. You just cleaned an area, and that boss is coming in there and constantly squirting that liquid on the floor, that chocolate syrup. That's no respect for you. They don't give a fuck what you think. They're flexing their muscle. Even though they're wrong, even though they know that what they're doing is not helping things get done, they're still doing it. And no one holds the boss accountable, right? So what are you going to do as a worker if you're in a situation like that? Well, many people are going to walk away because it's counterintuitive. Why am I going to be at a job that when I'm mopping the floor, sweeping and mopping, my boss comes right behind me and dirties the damn thing up? That's the relationship that I've had with my mom, with my own mother. It's like she goes through, gets in a situation which is code red, calls me, to fix it right away. I put a Band-Aid on it. I diagnosed it. And then I realized, okay, this gash needs stitches. Then what she does, she gets on the phone or she talks to people, whether it's her neighbors or people from church or whomever. And they'll tell her a different point of view. And then what happens is the plan that I created, because again, I have to clean up the mess and then I have to find a problem to fix it. It's counterintuitive or it's different than what her peers or my sister or whomever she talks to says. And then she goes with that opinion versus mine. So even though I've said this in a prior podcast. So when I see that cycle of having to clean up right away, diagnose situation, propose a solution, gets rejected, and then I have to wait till the wreck happens again, that's something that I'm cutting myself. I have self-respect. And I was telling that to the social worker. I was telling her, look, parents have to be held accountable. Like, we just can't think that parents can get away with being neglective, of their kids or whatever it is that they do or don't do in the kid's life and feel like they still are owed a life service of gratitude. Like, it doesn't work that way. And I don't expect anything from my daughter. I've always said this. But because I chose to bring her in the world, she deserves to get the love and the gratitude that, you know, we chose for her to be here. And even if she was to say an accident and I loved her like I do now, I would let her know that her parent loves her dearly. Like, she never has to go through the dark world not knowing how much her dad loved her. She's always going to know that through the things I say and through my actions. So those are things that I would never understand from that perspective, from my mother or my father's perspective, or just that dynamic of how can you not be, even change your tone. Like, if my daughter was to be 30 years old now and she'd be like, you know, dad, you could have done these things better. I'll be like, you know what? You're right. And I'm sorry. And it's like, can I walk her in that now? You know, the lack of showing humility is what will always drive me up the wall. Because, yeah, you may be older than me, but guess what? We're all old. None of us are. All of us can drive. All of us can fly. You know, go anywhere in the world. All of us can do these things as adults. All of us run our own households independently. So why would you not give me that respect that you would give to a neighbor or to a coworker? Why wouldn't you give that respect? Just like that boss. Like, that boss knows he's a boss. But why does he have to go behind the employee and keep squirting? What are you trying to do here? And that's where that quote that my daughter said, you care for her, you don't love her. Or you don't love her, but you care for her. I'm like, absolutely. That is the most accurate statement for her. And it's not like I'm trying to bash on her. I think I'm just expressing, because you can imagine as a child feeling or seeing this about your mother for so long and living it every day. And you have no one to talk to about it because no one can understand. There's no one that I've come across that understands that dynamic, because they can't even fathom a mother not being the way that I describe my mother being. And especially as I've turned out, that's even the biggest kicker. It's just that, okay, you have this kid, never been to jail, never gotten in trouble, went to school, did great in school, never had to get a tutor, never had to do anything, never did drugs, never did drinking during those formative years. Never got into any trouble. To this day, I don't have a criminal record other than traffic tickets. So it's like, oh yeah, and obviously divorce records. I would say that, you know, college, play basketball, was known in town, all these things, notoriety, so on and so forth. Played a little bit semi-pro in a couple of leagues. That's something that I feel a lot of parents and families that I know will be very proud of having. And the way I carry myself, the way I live, the way I treat people, I think that if they were to sit there and see the world that I live in, they would be very proud, but they're not invested in that. They don't care. And I get it. And I've also pushed away because they never took any appreciation or any interest in my life. To this day, my dad doesn't ask me, hey, if you ask him, where do I work? He doesn't even know. Because he doesn't even ask that. You know, all he thinks is like, I'm a DJ on the radio and I get paid for that. Because that's what my sister tells him. You know, or whatever she listens to here reverts to him. And she's not a very good listener, reverting verbatim what's being said. She'll take it through a different filter and then just shoot it. It's like the grapevine effect that in business class in college I had. We had this drill in college. It was the grapevine effect. And the professor made the first person in class, he wrote something down and he said, write it down and then whisper it to the person in the back. And there were around 30 people in that class, 25, 30 people. And then by the time the last person got that message through the ear from the first person, it was a totally different phrase. And that was an example. And I feel like with my sister, she's kind of like that. Like, it goes to the one, but it really goes to like 30 different filters, and it comes out completely different. Because that's the way, we didn't grow up together like that. So it's like the way she sees things is different than the way I see things. The way I talk is different than the way she talks. So it is a very unfortunate situation, but I just don't have anybody to talk to about this because no one can understand. Like, you have griping within family, but man, you could at least say that your mom calls you and says, I love you, and wants to see the grandkid, right? And, you know, just makes all these things. That's never happened. And I know if she starts saying it all of a sudden, it's because my sister's putting that in her ear. That's the only way, because my sister's like that. Like, she is really sneaky like that. She'll go behind my back. She talks to my daughter behind my back, all this stuff. And it doesn't matter. And it's just, again, the lack of respect that I don't get from my family. And I'm not asking for them to kiss my... It's just like treating me like an individual, knowing that they can't place a hierarchy on me because we don't have that experience together. And that's why I laugh when I get Christmas cards. And when I got a Christmas card from my sister last year, I had nothing on it. Had no nothing. It just had the generic Christmas card. And I'm saying, what Christmas memories did we have? My father sent me a letter, so it must have been a collaborative effort for them. They talked about it. Let's send them something to make him feel like he's family. But my dad never calls my birthday. My mom never calls my birthday. They don't. They don't wish me happy birthday. They don't. They just talk, you know, they just talk about different things. But I don't. They're still alive and well, and they don't call me and check on my birthday, wishing you so special. None of that. None of it that you would think a mother would do, or even the feeling of that, is so disingenuous that I don't even want to get it, because I know it's not even genuine. They're just not used to it, and it's okay. But I just wish that at the base level, there was some respect. So I guess with my mother, just being at the level that I just care, is because of the recent episode that I'm having with her, where I've lined up all these things for her to get help or to get looked at. I order her a walker. We got her all these appointments, and I was even trying to get her a personal assistant. Like, and I was telling her, we need to hire one until all these programs go into effect. Even the social worker was like, that's the smart thing to do. I'm like, yeah, I know, but you need to tell that to the people that my mom talks to that tell her otherwise. And because those people that are on the phone with her that tell her that, it don't do that, don't waste that money on that, that's part of the deal. Okay, that's that's something that I can't fight anymore. I don't want to fight anymore. When I was younger, if I would have been 23, I would have been griping at her about that. I would have been telling her, hey, you need to stop listening to that person. What does that person know about this? Right? And I will bash her over that. And she will tell me, look, you're not my husband. You're not my dad. You're not going to tell me what to do. And that was always said so many times. That's why I'm able to remember it the way I do, because it was always a constant theme of her fighting the things, the ideas, and the path that I would try to create for her to be in a better place. She would be like, and so that I stopped. Once I stopped fighting, once I stopped like saying that, like I had to learn to detach from that expectation. And then I just became like the cleanup person, fix it, put a Band-Aid on it, diagnose it, find a solution, give it to her. And then if she stops it like she is now, then there's nothing I can do. And I was telling that to the social worker. I was telling her, look, she's not diagnosed with dementia. She's not diagnosed with any mental handicap at this point. So I just can't do a hostile takeover in her affairs. And I believe her sister has bank account, either power of attorney. That's what she was telling me. I'm like, I know. I don't think I could do it, because this lady is not going to let me do what I need to do. And I don't care. I mean, but at this point, I don't care. I care, but it's on her to figure out with the people that she trusts. Because if she's not trusting her son, that's always had the best interests in her well-being and her life, and she always kept pushing back against that, on top of the neglect, on top of the lack of love, on top of the lack of support, then you could understand how a young boy and a grown man raising a whole different family by himself without the support, not even an emotional encouragement, it's something that I rather distance myself from. And however it looks to the outside world, whenever that person comes and judges me, I'll give them the thick and creamy version of it. And just like the counselor, there's nothing you could say back. Nothing. Because it was this thing of, she was initially trying to do what other people do. It's like, that's your mother, you need to do this. And I'm like, yeah, she's my mother, but you have to hold her accountable too. And not only is she accountable for her decisions, but even after I set all these things up that she agreed I did above and beyond, my mom still needs to drink that water. I could lead her to the water, but she has to drink it. And in our history, she has never drank it. She drinks it when other people tell her to drink it, but not when I tell her. And like I said, there's just so many stories of that growing up and trying to build my life, trying to do and having to deal with that frustration. And I'm so saturated from it. And hopefully anybody that listens to this can understand the point of view. I'm not, and it's something that the weird thing about it is that, and I'll leave with this, is that if you were to sit her down with me, she wouldn't disagree. She couldn't defend herself. There's nothing. My sister tried to do that one time, tried to call me saying I was saying all these things on the podcast that weren't true. My sister thought they weren't true. And I kept going one by one. I'm like, Mom, you never did this. You never did this. You never did this. So yeah, you never did this. And my sister didn't even know these things occurred. And I'm like, yeah, these things occurred because you weren't here. And I had to deal with it. And I felt the trauma from those things. So don't sit there and make me think that I'm just fabricating lies. Who wants to fabricate this? Like, who wants to be in this position of like not loving their mom and self-reflecting on that? Because I just don't have any ounce of love coming out of me. Maybe it'll be at a later time, but at this point, no. like, at this point, it's like, I care for her. I want her to be well. You know, I want her to have a good life, to have a quality of life. I really do. But I don't, like, I don't have that bond or that feeling of love. And that's where my daughter recognizing what I was saying, that I was just in a place that was different than how I'm used to operating, especially with her. Because when I love, I hug. When I love, I teach you. I talk to you with sympathy. I talk to you sternly. I talk to you in a respectful way for you to feel respected. I demand respect as well. Like, it's, I give it and I also expect it. And that's a beautiful dynamic that we have with my daughters, that I let her be a certain way. And then sometimes when she's around her mom, she doesn't love me. She starts acting out of school a little bit. But when she's with me, just me and her, we always have a great respect. I don't have to yell. I don't have to raise my voice. And you show a lot of love. You give her so much love that she doesn't want it. And that's what she is right now. So I feel like I've done my job. I've done my job as a dad of her, and I will continue to do it, of showing her love, or showing her she's appreciated, show her the support and whatever she wants to do. Tell her the pitfalls of it, right? Be a parent, and also guide her. I don't want to turn, you know, she wants to be a video TikTok star and she wants to produce videos. Okay, that's great. No problem with that. Let's get it. And you just try your best to love and to just let parenting be through the guise of love. And my mom never did that. You know, I was made to feel like I was an inconvenience. I was made to feel like I didn't matter. And regardless of what anybody else says, if I was to sit her in the face and go through all the things detail by detail, I don't think she can't deny it, because that shit, it sticks with you. It, just like with my sister, trauma that I created on her sticks with her. She was telling me one time about a hamburger, like we were fighting and I just like threw this hamburger, like oil on her or something like that. It was there. It wasn't hot or anything, but it was something where, oh, I just threw the hamburger on her that was being cooked. That's kind of episodes we will have. You know, but she never talks about the things that she would do to trigger it. It's not like I got up angry wanting to throw hamburgers at her. It was more of like, okay, what did you do? And it goes back to that lack of respect, that hierarchy, that feeling of I'm your mom or I'm your older sibling or I'm your father, that you got to do what the fuck we tell you to do. And because I don't, they kind of look at me as an outsider. And not only that, but then I create walls for them to, I don't want to hear your judgment. I don't want to hear what you feel about me. You haven't been in my life. You haven't supported my life. So how the fuck are you going to tell me how my life should and shouldn't be? I don't want to hear it, or how it should have been in the past, which is something my dad loves to do. God bless him. And God bless them all, actually. You know, it's like one of those things that you have to understand the challenges that I had to go through to be where I'm at now. Because it's the worst feeling to have somebody at the home front being your biggest trainer. Not being your biggest enemy, but there's just no support. There's no guidance. And there's no appreciation of what you do for the house. I don't want any of that. You know, I already closed that chapter in my heart and in my mind. And it's, again, not, and there's no child that on earth that wants to, now being a grown adult, that wants to feel that. Like, this was not by choice. You know, this feeling, it's a body of work of knowing the characters are not able to change, are not able to repent and take accountability. And that's why I stay where I'm at. If there were people that could say like what I can say, like, look, I fucked up, I did this or that or the third, and you know, I empathize, I sympathize and try to work on a new dynamic that shows respect to the trauma and also be able to cultivate something new and positive that trumps any other past. So when people are on that page and they're able to drop their egos and they're able to drop the stereotypes or the paradigm shifts of the narrow-mindedness that people have as far as how they view you, because they view you still as a 10-year-old or as whatever age they're traumatized by you, or they just whatever age they still view you as, like, you have to get over that. Because I know you're a different person, but unfortunately, you're not showcasing that, just like my mom is not showcasing that. My dad has. My dad is like more aware. He goes back once in a while, but then he readjusts. If I have a conversation, he'll readjust. He'll be like, okay, this is different. Because he falls into the abyss of what my sister says and gossip and shit. So I just try to work on my peace and tranquility. That trumps all. If I'm not in a good place, I can't be a good dad. I can't be a good worker. I can't be good to the staff that we all work together in. I can't be good to anybody as a friend, as a partner, as a parent, as whatever label. I cannot be good to anybody. And when these characters continuously keep draining me or trying to impose, not anymore, not as often, but impose the way I need to be and the way I need to communicate, it is going to be a problem because they did not earn it. You did not earn it by just spitting me out in the world. Because I'll go back to this analogy and I'll leave with this. I said that already. But this topic is one of those long ones all the time. And it's like, imagine me as a father and not providing child support, not being there for my daughter, neglecting her, doing the opposite of what I've experienced. And let's fast forward to me being 75 years old and I'm going around in a wheelchair and I'm needing somebody to take care of me or to at least do things for me that I can't do for myself. And my daughter's going to look at me like, fuck you. And many of you will be like, you damn right. She has every right to feel that way because you were not there as a father. You neglected her. You ignored her. You didn't show her love. You didn't make her feel good enough. You didn't make her feel wanted and appreciated. So, yeah, don't expect her to be there, you piece of shit dad. That's what I would get from society. But because as a mom, everyone, all the women run and act as if she's been an amazing mom. How dare you? And I'm quick to tell people, you gotta hold parents accountable. So when I gave the creamy butter, creamy and thick version to that social worker of my story, she shut the fuck up real quick because she understood that. And she was like, oh, well, I need to go talk to her. And I'm sure she talked to her and I'm sure all that stuff happened because, again, I would have been getting phone calls about my mom not doing good. So someone got a hold of her. People are talking to her, but it's not me. And I'm okay with that. And I'm going to continuously, as long as I'm being bothered by this or I'm being dragged into this, I will keep talking about it because this is not part of my life. This is not how I operate. I don't care. Like, I told her that. I told this to my mom when she was here. I told her, look, when she was complaining about some things that I was telling her we need to do, whether it's getting out of the bed in a certain way, And I was doing it because I was picking her up. So I was doing it the most efficient way. And she would complain about the doctor said this. And we're kind of having conversations about appointments and what the doctor said or not said. And I had talked to the doctor on the phone. And she was telling me something completely different than the doctor didn't say. And she was getting really escalated and saying it like her word was the truth. And I was like, well, mom, look. Let me tell you something. I don't need to be dealing with you. I don't need to be putting this burden on my plate. I'm trying to help. And I don't need you to be difficult with me. So if you want to be difficult, that's fine. But it's not going to be with me helping you. I let her know that. Because I already experienced one too many times how the story is going to end. As far as whenever I'm involved with her problems. already know how this is going to go. Now, the other people don't see that side of her because they don't engage with her, or she has respect for their decision making and she follows whatever they say. She doesn't do that with me. And so when you're dealing with somebody that doesn't want to follow along with what you have to say, and they feel that the neighbor or the other sibling or anybody else, you name it, is more smarter than me, I was like, it's an ego thing. Like it's like her ego can't just succumb, or never has been able to, and she's not going to now, of, man, like, my son does know what he's doing. She's living in my fucking house. I don't think she's ever owned the fucking house. Like, this is like my third house, fourth house. And I, you know, gave my rights to my other house to my wife. So like I said, I could have been a multiple homeowner. And I'm not trying to, it's stupid for me to say that, but it just lets you know that she's telling me what I need to do. And I'm like, Mom, I'm doing okay for myself. I'm hanging in there. So, you know, you're struggling. So I think you need to listen to the person that's doing okay. You know, it's going to a good place. Obviously, have you stay here with me, being able to accommodate you, being able to have the flexibility, being able to do all these things for you in a very efficient way that you're not able to do because you let too many people get in your head and you're all over the place and nothing's being done. If you're a logical person, you could understand the vicious cycle that I've been a part of with my own mother. And then the burden has been, the whole world says, but that's your mother. The world doesn't hold my mother accountable or have her issues fixed because they're not visible to the world. They just see a sweet lady, soft and soft-spoken, is always giving out food, always giving out stuff. So they see the very sweet side of her. The side that she gives to everybody is not the side that I got. I think my sister got the worst side of my mom. I got like the don't fucking talk to me. That's the one that I got. I could be in a car ride with her, we don't talk. You know, we don't have that bond. That's what it is. And it's not something that I ever wanted it to be that way, but it just became that. And when the thing about me is, when I detach, when I just say, I'm out of here. Like, there's no coming back. Like, there is no coming back. Like, I did that with my ex-partner, and I was like, nope, that's it. Like, I don't know if there'll be a trilogy. I highly doubt it. You know, it's one of those deals. Like, I don't know. Because you're saying to yourself that you're liking toxicity. You like toxic dynamics that you're not able to realize the reality of that dynamic. And I think that's the sadness in it all, is that people are not going to be able to understand that, because in their dynamic as children to their mothers, the mothers are they're stable, they're everything, they're guiding light, they're, you know, when they need a hug, when they want to feel loved, when they want to get a home-cooked meal, when they, all these different things. And it's something I've never experienced with my mom. Not nowhere near the rate of what people should normally feel it. So that's why, you know, I did an overcorrection with parenting and created a spoiled child, but I just never wanted her to not feel that void. I never wanted her to live her life trying to prove her worth to her parents. Like, no child should do that. Like, there should be, your worth is just the fact that you're here and you're living life, and we are here helping you and enjoying every moment, every highlight that you have, enjoying it. And that's what it is for me. And everyone's definition is different, but that's my definition of parenting. That's my just being there for them, loving them, giving them unconditional support and acceptance of who they are. And unfortunately, with this dynamic, it's frustrating because, again, you know that I'm going to have another phone call where I have to deal with things, and I'm just turning my back, and that's going to look bad for a lot of people, and I understand that. I will do what I can, but I'm not going to be doing those gestures that I did just recently. I think those are few and far in between now, because I have to protect my space, my happiness. You know, imagine me just ranting away like this very easily. Just lets you know how deep it rings inside me, and not being able to rectify it because you're enslaved to the connection. It's a huge, huge problem. Like it's a problem that I don't want to, I have been saturated of. And that's why I always talk about wanting to leave the country, because when I leave the country, there's no one that can bother me about anything. There is, you got a problem, I'm out of the country. You know, you're done. You're better off calling 911 than to have me fix the issue, because I'm not around. I'm far fucking away in another world. Good luck finding me. Because it just seems like people don't know how to take care of their issues, and then they dump them on you because they feel that that's your responsibility. And it's like, well, why don't you hold the parent accountable? Like, you would hold me accountable if I was a piece of shit dad. Everyone would be quick to hold me accountable. No one would be telling my daughter, like, well, that's your dad, you know? That's your dad. Like, you know, you need to just go ahead and deal with that shit. I know, but that's your dad at the end of the day, Jazz. You got to deal with him. You got to deal with his, he doesn't love you. I understand, but that's your dad. He mistreated you. He called you all these names, or he said these things, or just whatever. You know what? Just deal with it. That's your dad. That's your dad. And in a weird way, I'm sure he loves you. And I'm sorry that you have all this trauma from all that stuff, but that's your dad, and he needs you now, and you need to do it. But no one holds me accountable, you know. But that's my whole point. Give it time. This ain't even my body. Just look me in my eyes, man. Ooh, you killing me softly. Now I'm in the class, singing off key. Spreading that thing like Bobby.